Blog Talk Radio.
Really, that's it was slow business wise. It's still sold to today, but
Yeah, no, it was today here, and I know we normally do this in the winter, but for your local Chicago weather report, today it was 91 with 89% humidity, if I remember the numbers right, and the heat index was at 108.
Huh.
And
Sounds
guess what my dumbass
cozy.
did? Yeah, my
I don't know that if
dumbass.
you were smart, you'd pick the Jeep, the top off.
That's exactly what I did.
See?
AC works fine, but when I was leaving for work, it was actually pretty nice. It was like 80, like right around 80 and sunny. So I'm like, oh hell, what the, yeah, I'll rip the top off the Jeep. Not planning ahead for my ride home. Yeah, it was a little, but it's a Jeep. Of course, I'm gonna have a damn top down. If it's not raining, the top is down.
That's right. That's the way it ought to be. It's either that or have the bike out. But me, I
Seriously.
was stuck inside doing a bathroom remodel all day. Imitating a plumber.
Did it have AC?
I'm, yeah, it was comfy too. But yep, that's just the story of life. So I guess let's just cut to the chase. Tonight we have Nick Carlson. For those in the paranormal world, you will be very familiar with the name of the location that he is manager at, Pinehurst State School and Asylum. And I'm sure you've all seen the shows and everything. All the other investigators on TV have gone there. Numerous ones of them have had the crap scared out of them. So we're going to find out some of the scoop from Nick tonight as to what actually goes on in this place. So, what do you think, Matt?
Well, first off, as far as the show goes, I'm actually really, really stoked about it because I do know a lot of people that have gone there and that they tell their stories of what they did in a one night or two night, investigation or, I mean, Dennis, we know how many people and that have had or do have TV shows and have been there and talked to them about locations and all that. You really don't get the perspective of, hey, I'm around this crap every day. You see, like, watch Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, any of those, and they're doing the client interview. It's all the same format. Doing the client interview at the very, very beginning of the show, doing the walkthrough, and that's really all you get to hear about it. Not like that, and who knows how much of that interview is lost during editing. So, because we
Yeah,
know
exactly.
that's definitely true. So yeah, to actually hear the perspective, I'm really, really stoked about it. And he's actually with us, so I will let you cut to more of the chase and take less of the time of people listening to us talk back and forth, because who really honestly gives a shit? And we'll get to it. So, and Nick, I believe you're with us. What's going on, man?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, evening,
Doing
Nick. How
good.
you doing, brother?
I'm all right. I'm all right. It is hot as shit out. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. I can't tell you the last time I stuck a thermometer in shit to give you a judgment on that one, so I'll take your word for it.
Oh, that's funny.
Sorry, I couldn't let that one pass, man.
It was a good opportunity. I'm glad you took it. It's perfect.
Yeah, Dennis doesn't miss much of them.
Yeah, I've been told I'm kind of quick that way. So, you were the manager at Pinehurst State School and Asylum.
That is correct.
You do the now. Do you do the tours, or like, let's
Correct.
say, okay,
Correct. I'm the
so.
manager of Pinehurst Paranormal Association, which is a paranormal group that's run by the owner. And we give tours of the Mayflower building. And yeah, it's good times.
So is it just the Mayflower that's opened up for the tours?
For the paranormal tours, just the Mayflower building's open at this time. Renovations for other buildings are in the works. We're still fairly new, being open to the public. We only opened up last year. And it's a slow process, but we're getting there. But we also have a haunted attraction during the Halloween time that allows you into the tunnels, the administration building, and is Mayflower.
Nice. Now, please tell me that you do have cameras running during renovations.
No, we do not. We actually, you know, we've had the question from, you know, the contractors, foreman, or their bosses asking, you know, what happens if my crew, they think this place is haunted? Do we tell them that it's haunted, or we kind of just let it be? So we kind of went in there telling them that it's not haunted, because we need to get the job done. So we want to scare them. So we do not put cameras in running at all times.
All right. So, excuse me. Now, I'm sure, you know, you've got, you know, plenty of time to wander around and everything. Have you noticed an increase in activity since renovation started?
In certain areas, yes. You know, but on different, it's weird. You know, different days, it's a lot more than usual, and then other days, it's a little bit more quiet than usual. Usually we have it on, it's a steady pace, but it's kind of been fluctuating. So I don't know if some of the ghosts are sneaking out into other buildings now. But, you know, yeah, it's definitely been different. I can tell you that much.
So during renovation, yeah, Dennis, can I get a word in edgewise or what?
Sure, man. Yeah, hell. It's equal opportunity.
Yeah, man.
Show. So you got your words in, now shut the hell up and let me have mine. It's like someone saying, can I ask you a question? You just did. You just, like, ear-fucked me. I didn't even get an option on that one. Yeah.
You guys argue worse than me and my wife. You guys are a horrible married couple right now.
Oh, but we have a blast with it.
Yeah, we as his wife would call it, we definitely have a wonderful bromance. She has tagged that. So, as far as with the renovation and you know, and everything going on with in the certain areas that are being done, have you actually ever had anybody like walk out and say, "Man, I'm not messing with this," and like quit on
the
job?
Really? It's happened quite a few times. Yes, it's happened quite a few times.
See, Dennis, there you go. You don't give a shit. You drop your hammers and all your tools and start running after things, which I don't think that would be. The renovation would
exactly
take forever if Dennis was the one actually on the contractor on that one.
Some of the guys do like it, though. We've had plenty of people ask us, you know, can we stay overnight, you know, show us around, show us what really happened. So, you know, a lot of guys are actually into it.
Yeah, I guarantee you, I'd be that one contractor with a hard hat that has like six GoPro cameras mounted to it. I'd have a GoPro mounted on my hammer and shit if I could get away with it. Right? Now, I worked in a place similar. It's up in D.C. It was the first federal government insane asylum. It was St. Elizabeth's, opened in 1855. We had, and I mean, the best story I have ever heard regarding, you know, I've been a contractor and in construction for 20 years. I've worked in a buttload of places that, you know, reportedly have activity. But the best one I heard, I was talking to the superintendent. He said he was headed off to building whatever to go check on three electricians that were putting in boxes in the wall, in the hallways. He's got sheetrock guys ready to come along behind them. He said, I made it probably, I don't know, 30, 40 feet away from the building, and they all three come running out the front door, and I mean, just slammed the door wide open on their way out. He said, there's like 12 or 15 steps up to enter the building. He said, I think they might have touched one on the way out. He said, all three of them are just pale as sheets. I'm like, what the hell is wrong? Is it fire? What? They're like, dude, you need to call security. There's somebody in the building. He's like, you know, I didn't even question at that point. So I radioed security, told him to get the hell out of here right away. while we're waiting on security, I asked him, you know, who did you see? What, you know, what was he doing? They're like, no, it wasn't a he, it was a she, and it was some woman in a, like, long white gown running down the hallway, screaming at the top of her lungs, yanking hair out by the handfuls. What? He said all three electricians went through with security. They didn't see anybody in the building. He said they gathered all their tools and equipment. He said, I haven't seen them back on the job. That's 2 months ago.
I'm like, can I work in that building? Can I work in that building?
Yeah, we actually had to tell when we were ridding the asbestos out of the Quaker building. You know, we were strictly told, do not tell them that the place is haunted because they will quit. They will walk off the job. So we were very, you know, under strict rule not to say anything.
Yeah,
that was another question I had, too, is, like, for what it is, I mean, obviously, it's not nothing legal for this, but would you have to disclose to a contract if there is, like, you know, are they pretty much, hey, let them know that there's, you know, weird shit that happens here, it is what it is, and give them a heads up, or just say, see, this is where you should put cameras in for when stuff happens and you get to laugh and watch people run out of the building.
You're right, we should have. But I think there's laws that we cannot video monitor without their permission. So
I have an idea. I do have an idea what you can do, which I think, one, it'd help with the response and of the renovation, with people being involved and really wanting to go there and check it out, but also it would help out financially for the response too. If you set up a full 24-hour live feed online and you have a, like, a $1.99 member fee that they go on, which gets donated to the restoration and renovation, and people can go on at any time of the day or the night and view different webcams of different areas.
That's a thought. I mean, we've discussed similar things in that genre before. Like, you know, there's a lot that goes along with it. And, you know, the cost of keeping the live feed going.
Yeah.
You know, and then it would actually, honestly, it might even cause more of a security issue because, you know, we still have the urban explorers that like to break in on a regular basis. And, you know, having that up, a lot of people will start taking it as, you know, some type of extra security thing. More people trying to break in to get, you know, try to get away with something, us having to hire more security, you know, so those are some of the things that we need to think about.
Yeah, that's true, too. Daniel says, and Chad said, Pennhurst roulette. Like Chad roulette, but it's all Pennhurst.
Ask Daniel about the third floor of Mayflower the last time he was there. Ask him what he remembers, if he remembers anything.
Well, you kind of just asked him third person. After me to ask him while he's listening.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but Daniel Hooven's kind of a big deal around here, so he needs me to speak to someone to speak to him directly, because I'm not on the level yet.
he said he blacked out.
He did. He did. Tell him to stop being a little bitch. He's there umpteen times, and now he wants to black out? Come on.
Yeah, sorry, I got distracted because my dog was freaking out over something. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't anything significant. My apologies.
Well, you got excited because Dan Hooven's listening.
Well, I mean, so was I, but, you know, I won't even tell you the level of my excitement.
Yeah, Dennis happens to live in a haunted house also.
Yeah, I've got a couple of them here. It's always entertaining. I've got the door to my basement I can't keep closed overnight for nothing. I've even set my night vision camera up and aimed it down the hallway. About an hour after I hit record, well, you see me hit record and everything, I step back, verify the screenshot. You see me grab the basement door handle and just shake the hell out of it, and I make sure it's latched tight. I went on down the hall into my bedroom, and about an hour later, you hear this boom, and the damn basement door popped open about 2 inches. Okay. So, yeah, they like to play around. The basement door is probably five days a week. You can go to bed at night, make sure it's latched. 5 days of the week, the damn thing will be open in the morning.
Interesting. Well, and I know the guests that live downstairs, you know, like, keep the door open. They're scared of the dark.
Yeah, I've started leaving a light on over in the service area of my basement. The basement is divided into two sections. I've got one that's pretty much storage, you know, the laundry area and extra furniture and whatnot from, you know, this kid moving and that kid moving and whatever else. And then the other side is mostly all my work materials, and my office is actually in there. So I started leaving the light on and leave the door between the two open, and still end up with the damn door pops open. But it is what it is. They don't bother me. I've got some pretty cool EVPs out of my own house.
That's cool.
Get bored. I don't have to go find a location to investigate. I sit in my living room.
But, I don't have that luxury.
Yeah, and I've had, you know, shadow play around the rooms and everything. Some really weird K2 anomalies, but who knows? They're here. That's all I care, and they don't seem to harm me. I haven't had anything thrown in my head, so I'm good with it.
Oh, that's good.
Well, that's good. It's called paranormal. I'm sure Hope probably has a couple times.
Yeah, I mean, the role
it has.
But, so what is the one defining thing that tells you that, you know, there's strong energy there? I mean, has there been a desk overturn or, you know, something like that?
I have witnessed in the basement of Quaker a crowbar get picked up off the ground and thrown at us. And not probably about 15, 20 minutes later, in the basement, there's a little storage closet, wood frame, chicken wires, the wall, very flimsy. But that whole wall started shaking violently. And that's when I said, okay, this place is crazy. I'm going outside for a little bit.
Time for a smoke break.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Yeah, really. Now, do you, you do investigations also, so how often do you actually go through? I mean, if I had a place like that that I had unlimited access to, I'd probably be there every damn night. But how often do you actually go through and do a long night investigation?
Like how many times a week? I'm there maybe once, twice a week, sometimes three times. I'll investigate every night, usually start around 7, 8 o'clock. Depending on how much activity is going on, I'll be anywhere from 2 to 3, sometimes 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I definitely need to yank my team up there one day. Or at least one of them I could get.
It's a pretty large campus, and, you know, but even the one building we have open right now, Mayflower, you know, it's 4 stories, basement, first floor, second floor, third floor. I mean, it's huge. And there's not enough time in the night to actually investigate that building alone.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, like I mentioned in the intro, we've all seen virtually every paranormal team on TV go through. And like Matt pointed out, you know, you have to sit back and wonder how much did editing wipe out, you know, how much did the production destroy that. You know, the actual investigators that were going there are going, son of a bitch, that was great, and it never makes it to air. I mean, I see Daniel's posted PennhurstParanormal.com in the chat room, and has also put up the Pennhurst Paranormal Association Facebook page. Have you got, evidence listed or posted on either of those sites?
We do not. We give, we actually have my other paranormal group that I'm a part of, Shore Paranormal Research Society. We have evidence posted on that website from when my paranormal team is investigated. But usually a lot of the tours, you know, people, you know, document their own evidence. They do share it with us, but we don't feel it's all right to post it up on our websites. We give them the access to do it themselves.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as, like, you know, your own group, evidence that you've gotten, you know, have you thought about putting up some of the video or anything from those?
We're in the process of putting something together. We'll probably do like a mini web series about different things that we've captured. You know, it, we want to put it more towards of a documentary style as well as paranormal. We want to tell the history of what happened there and the evidence that we've actually captured based on the history that's happened there and kind of put it all together. So it is in the works. I'm not sure when we'll have it out, but it is something to look forward to.
Well, and that was another thing I was going to ask you about, too, is what you see on the shows and you can read on Wikipedia, which we know is just absolutely 100% accurate. In working there, has there been any sort of history? Because, like, honestly, it's amazing to me, and I have to say that I love, like, a lot, you know, all my friends and family who aren't interested in the paranormal, but they tune in every single week and they listen to the shows. And I was getting, and yes, you too, Daniel. I know that wasn't directed towards me, but it fit. He put NP, no problem. So I know it was a response to a chat thing. But yeah, just is there anything history-wise that you found out that hasn't been, like, talked about on the shows, or something that really struck you as amazing as far as acts that have been performed there, or, you know, stuff that the public wasn't supposed to know but did get found out?
Well, here's the funny thing about Pennhurst State School and Hospital. If you try to research anything online about what has happened there, it is nearly impossible. It will direct you to certain websites, but they're all theorist websites. And, you know, we found evidence of certain stories being true, as far as, you know, doctor experimenting things on different patients, trying new drugs, I should say, abuse. You know, we have come across a few documents of abuse happening there. But as far as really digging deep and finding out everything that's happened there, it's almost nearly impossible. I mean, they covered that up pretty well. You know, once Bill Baldini back in in the late 60s did a report, which kind of opened up to the world exactly what was happening in places like this. And I think at that point they realized, you know, they got to backtrack and be careful what they put out.
Yeah, and that was the report that they showed, or that Ghost Adventures had the segment, the clip on that episode, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, that was absolutely crazy. And showing some of the conditions at the time and you know, it is with everything, like even Statesville Prison in Joliet, Illinois, that ended up closing down, was maximum security. It wasn't a supermax, but there's a lot of stuff that's come to light about that, and people doing reports and saying, oh, this is what happened there, and we have documentation. Come to find out, you look at it, and they've written books on, you know, alien interaction in our own government. It's like, well, what the hell kind of credible source is that?
That's true. We actually recently had the opportunity to interview past employees, one of them being a psychiatrist back in the early 70s up until the, you know, early 80s, right when they closed. I'm not going to mention his name, but I will tell you one of the questions, you know, what brought him to Pennhurst, and his pretty much exact words were to us, you know, that when he was in college, he was looking for a place to do an internship, and he picked the place out of a hat, and it turned out to be Pennhurst State School, and he went there, you know, for a few hours to check it out, and when he was driving home, he was crying all the way back home, and when he got home, his parents said to him, you know, what was wrong, and his exact words were, I just visited a place with over 3,000 people where we wouldn't put our dog for the weekend.
Wow.
And that was, you know, coming from a source who took a position there, not just any position, but a big role. And hearing that come from his mouth, you know, I mean, that hit home for me, you know. And then he was also talking about, he would tell parents if they had a mentally disabled child, so a physically disabled child, back in that, you know, the early 1900s all the way up until the 1960s and 70s, you know, those type of children weren't allowed in our school system. And they would bring him to a place like Pennhurst, and he would tell the parents, bring him here, leave him here. This is the best place for them. Don't ever come back. And parents would leave their children. Kids grew up from, you know, infants up into, you know, their adult years, you know, not never seeing their family again. And, you know, you got to think about the things that they've witnessed. It's a scary thought, man.
Well, when Pennhurst... Go ahead, Dennis.
No, go right ahead, man.
What?
No, you go.
No, you go.
I'm going to start calling you at one by one. All right, I'm going to tell us right now. Matt, go ahead. You first.
You can delegate who has the questions. So in history of what I've learned, because that's actually what I went to school for and everything is psychology and abnormal psychology, and there was a brief touch on why certain places had closed and certain reports of conditions and stuff like that, and Pennhurst was brought up, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing, when Pennhurst first opened, it was privately owned, and then eventually the state took it over, is what I was told. Is there any truth to that, or?
I believe that's what happened. When it first opened, I believe it was, okay, I can't remember the name, the something Pennsylvania School for the, I can't even remember. But then it was turned into Pennhurst in either the late, like 1918, 1919, or the early 1920s is when the state took it over and named it Pennhurst.
Yeah, because it initially had opened up as, well, at least I can't say this documented, but it initially opened up as a school, almost like a special education school.
Yes.
And then when the state took it over is when they started buying more property, and then had a disabled, non-functional in society wing that they opened, more like the insane asylum, and then it just kept taking off from there. Well, the state had no problem taking people in, but then ran into a problem with funding as far as staffing issues and stuff like that too. And it got to a point, from what I heard when we were talking about it, is there was one staff member was basically had like 25 to 32 people they had to take care of on a daily basis.
That is correct.
So, and I don't give a shit who you are. You can be Mother Teresa or Jesus. You're not going to, you know, be able to adequately take care of somebody who can't take care of themselves in any way, and that many people. I mean, there were people that were actually mentally functional, but they had never learned to read because they didn't have the ability to have somebody be able to sit down and teach them and give them the attention that they needed.
That is right.
Okay. At least that validates what I paid a shit ton of money to go to school for. At least that segment paid for itself.
Yeah, it was pretty insane. Just knowing that, you know, it just became a dumping ground for, you know, society's rejects. You know, from the bum on the street to, you know, the 16-year-old girl who was pregnant. You know, that's where they sent them. That's where they stayed. You know, they're lost and forgotten, and, you know, certain people had, you know, free reign to do what they want. They were secluded from the outside world. I mean, Pennhurst had its own currency, its own power source, you know, its own general store, grew its own food, its own produce. You know, it was a self-sufficient city, if you want to call it that. And, you know, there was little to no communication to the outside world. You know, there's no one you can go to ask for help. You know, and that's a scary thought.
And anything like that today, we would call it a cult compound and watch the FBI burn it down. Sorry, was that out loud?
No, wait, what did you say? I didn't hear anything.
Talking about when you get the FBI to burn it down.
No, I heard that. I was just saying, on the record, I didn't hear anything because now it's kind of the special government.
Well, I just threw that in front of the bus. God damn it.
But I don't give a shit. I've looked at the chassis of the bus more times than I care to think about in my life.
And a lot of the time it's been me that's put you there.
Yeah, no kidding. So what is the, you know, you're doing the renovations and everything. What is the ultimate goal of, I mean, what's the plan to do with the property?
The ultimate goal, which is going to take a very long time, is to try to renovate all the buildings, open up a museum, and preserve the property. You know, there's a lot of people who have a certain attachment to Pennhurst, you know, that granted the history that everything that's happened there has been so negative, but if you really think about it, what happened there, you know, changed the world in a way. You know, it gave rights to the mentally disabled, the physically disabled. You know, it opened up new programs and better living conditions. You know, so there's people in this world that want to see that place, you know, get preserved and show the struggle of what is now today.
So what's the actual land quantity that Pennhurst is comprised of?
Well, we have 17 buildings on the property, and I'm not sure about how many acres, but it's a lot. I believe it's 17 acres.
Wow. So it's definitely a handful to keep up and running, or at least to get back into running shape.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it'll never be, you know, back in operation, but, you know, just be able to, you know, have that historical landmark. I mean, I know, like, Norwich State Hospital, I've been by there a dozen times, and they've leveled it to put up, like, townhouses or some shit. You know, they never did anything with the energy that was in the buildings. You know, they just leveled everything and started to build again. Well, the question I have is how much energy is going to be residual there because of what had occurred there, you know?
Well, let's find somebody that lives in those townhomes and let's take a little vacation next week.
I actually am going up there next week. I mean, I'm not going to Norwich Hospital, but I'm actually going about 15 minutes away from Norwich in Groton. Son-in-law's in the Navy, and he and my daughter got transferred up there from Norfolk, so I'm going up to hang with them for a week or so. But, yeah, we had driven by Norwich Hospital, and, you know, I had no clue what the hell it was. They didn't bother telling me anything. We were on our way to the casino, and I just had like the strangest feeling driving by there. It's, you know, there's all these big brick buildings all boarded up and everything. And I'm like, what in the hell? And just the energy that I could feel from there was just, I mean, it was palpable in the car driving by. And then they told me what the hell it was. And I'm like, oh, shit. Okay. Well, that, you know. Of course, then, you know, I'm doing the Google Maps thing and I'm looking at it from, you know, aerial photographs and all, and I'm like, wow, this place is just nuts.
That's insane.
You know, and it's amazing how many locations like that there were. You know, we're supposed to be the wealthiest country in the world and, you know, the biggest outspoken for human rights and this and that and the other. I mean, if you look how many locations there are similar to Pinehurst, but, you know, such atrocities occurred, it just boggles the mind.
Absolutely.
Now, of all of the history and everything that you've discovered on the property or about the location, what is the one thing that just, you know, no matter how many times you read about it or no matter how many times you think about it, what's the one thing that just still makes you go, what the hell?
Well, one of the things that makes me go, what the hell, is on the property, or not too far from the property, is the Pinehurst Cemetery. And, you know, Pinehurst was built in 1908, closed in 1987. Their cemetery only goes up to 1920s.
Oh,
what happened from
yeah,
people from
the
20s to, you know, the 80s?
Yeah, that was kind of what I was thinking. Well, it only goes up to the 1920s. I mean, did they start at that point putting them into, like, you know, regular public cemeteries where families claiming the deceased? Or, I mean, do we have any idea?
We have no idea. There's no record or anything that points in that direction. You know, knowing that the time frame that it happened, even in the 30s and 40s, I mean, I can understand in this, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s that happening. But in the 30s and 40s, it was still very common where parents, you know, they didn't have family. You know, and there's not a crematory on the property.
That was my question.
We know of.
Yeah, that was my question. Is that, you know, is there a crematorium on there? And they just said,
we have yet to find that. There's rumors that there was one or that there is one, you know, but we've done our research and we've, you know, walked every inch of that property. And, you know, and I've spoken to people, you know, or urban explorers that have been going to that property for a very long time to know the ins and outs of it. And get information of them, you know, what they know about it, and if they ever came across anything, and they haven't, you know. And so, you know, that's just one of the things that makes me go, what the fuck?
Yeah, definitely. And I mentioned St. Elizabeth's up in D.C. Now, here's a funny point to that place. Department of Homeland Security is currently, well, GSA, of course, is paying for it. General Services Administration, but they're having it completely remodeled and upgraded for Homeland Security to have their offices. In the numerous, many, many years that I've been investigating and all the places that I've gone to, and as you call it, urban exploring, I have never seen a solid, full-body apparition that I thought was an actual person until I was working in that place. So, you know, I'm just picturing all the, you know, Homeland Security people, and all of a sudden they're going to start getting all the reports of shit. This place did have, it had its own power generation, had its own power plant, had its own fire department, had its own fields and livestock area. It did have a crematorium on site. The whole place is 138 acres, I think, with like 83 buildings in total. The whole thing has 5-foot brick wall surrounding it. And I saw my first full-bodied apparition. I was working in the kitchen in one of the buildings. I'm laying the tile floor. I'm 5 feet away from the doorway that goes into a little short hallway. If you go through that doorway from where I was, you turn left, you go three, four, or five feet maybe. There's a door leading outside. If you turn right through that doorway, you'll go 8 feet or so, and it goes to a stairway going to the second floor. I heard what sounded like hard-soled shoes coming down the steps. This is Christmas Eve, mind you. It's 2:30 in the afternoon. I know two people are in the building. I know myself and my partner are in the building. Nobody else is working. So I'm like, oh. I looked over my shoulder, made sure that Rich was still on the other end of the kitchen area. He's over there doing his thing. Well, what the hell? And about this time, I see a dude walk by me in a black, like a long black coat, black briefcase, wearing a fedora. Like, who the hell is that? I immediately popped up, sprinted through the door and out the exit door. There's nobody in sight, and it's 50 feet in any given direction to go off the mud, because they had torn up the sidewalks from them just being decayed and everything. But I kind of stood out there with my jaw hanging open going, okay, did I really just see this dude? Because I know I saw him, but no, I couldn't have seen him. I damn sure did. I talked to one of the security officers the next day, which, you know, they're armed guards and everything on the property. And I told him, and he starts laughing. I said, well, I wasn't finding it exactly humorous at the moment. He says, yeah, well, if you understand that I had to go through and do a full sweep in the building because I saw somebody that matched that description in one of the upstairs windows, I said, then you'll find it funny. He's like, I absolutely hate working the overnight shift out here. Nothing is ever normal. Like,
oh, cool. It's funny talking with security a lot of the nights. You know, I mean, they're out there every night. And, you know, these guys are they're good guys. But, I mean, the one kid that works the weekends, oh, this kid has, you know, he's got a big set of balls. He comes out there by himself and he hides, you know, in just the creepiest corners and crevices of this property just waiting for kids. I don't know how he does it. You know, there was one time that I went out there. I got out there probably like 6 o'clock in the afternoon. We had a group coming out. You know, I opened up the gate, let myself in. No one was there at the time. Drive down to the Mayflower building. I get out of my car. I open it up. I turn the alarm off. I walk inside and I go to the first day room on the left. I put the paperwork down and I walk back out in the hallway and I heard the loudest scream. I mean, it sounded like it was right behind me of a girl getting raped. And I ran so fucking fast out that door, slammed the door, jumped back in my car, turned the radio up, drove up to the gate and waited for the group to get there. You know, that freaked me the fuck out. So then the things that these guys deal with, you know, it's pretty comical. It is pretty comical.
And I was an investigator. I don't know. I don't think I've had the crap stared out of me like that before. I've had screams near me, you know, disembodied voices and everything, but I don't think I've ever had anything that loud that, you know.
I mean, it was loud. It hurt my ears. And, I'm a pretty big guy, and, you know, I definitely put on my game face when I have at least one other person with me. And but when I was by myself that day, man, you know, I mean, it was – it sounded like the person was right behind me. You know, I turned around, no one was there, and that just, you know, sorry. You know, I've had physical stuff happen to me at this place. You know, I've been pushed up the flight of stairs before. I've been, you know, pushed, I don't know how many times, scratched. I've even had somebody give me wet willies and that is not a joke. Swear to God.
How the hell did that happen?
Well, now my
you know
first
what?
Question is, was Hoban anywhere around?
Now we're going to get into the fun stuff. So, you know, we have a psychic medium that works with us as well, you know, who I love to death. She is fantastic, and she's also hot, too, which is kind of awesome. She's going to smack me for saying this when I see her now. But anyway, you know, so we were down there, and it was me, her, and there was a group down there, a couple other people. And, you know, we've come to know certain spirits that are in the Mayflower building. And the guy that hangs down in the basement, you know, we have nicknames for everybody now. And his nickname is the King. You know, and this guy, and from what I've seen of him, he's about 6'6", 6'7". You know, the Fu Manchu mustache, long, you know, black hair. Just this big, scary looking dude. But his nickname's the King. I always go down there calling him the Queen. But anyway, we were down in the basement, and you know, we're trying to get some EVP sessions, and Mara's saying that the guy's right behind her, and she's starting to bugging out, and you know, next thing I know, I felt something wet in my ear, and I turn around, I thought it might have been a bug or something, and then she does it, you know, same thing, and we both look at each other. She's like, "Did you just feel what felt like a wet Willie?" I'm like, "Yeah." Then it happened again, and I'm like, "What the fuck?" And it happened to her again. You know, it happened 3 or 4 times. You know, and it was kind of funny. So we were sexually assaulted in the ear.
Nice.
I wish you would have taken me out to dinner first, but, you know, I'm not that lucky.
Yeah, no shit. What happened to chivalry?
I know, right?
No, I've been touched. I've been smacked. I've been scratched. I've been grabbed, like, you know. That sounds,
you know,
like
what it really hurts me, though?
It goes out to the bar.
You know what hurts me the most?
Huh.
Is he never called again.
Oh. That fucker.
Bastard.
But I have to say that would not be something that I could say I've even come close to experiencing is like a wet Willie. That's
yeah.
A new one for the books. I'm going to have to jot that one down.
Yeah, write that down.
Yeah, the first
call
me. Yeah, well, I have to hashtag that one for Helmy. What will he buy ghost? Hashtag write that down.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, how often, well, since you haven't told the contractors or employees about the activity there or the, you know, the fact that it's haunted or not haunted, whatever. Well, basically, since you've been lying to them, how many have come up to you and said, "Man, something weird is going on here"?
Oh, God. Right now, I mean, there's been two guys that have come up to me in the past few weeks that have said something, and I kind of just shrugged my shoulders and kind of laughed. But one of the funniest stories I have is we allowed 4 state troopers to come on the property one night, you know, big guys, I believe ex-military, you know, we let them in, into Mayflower by themselves. You know, we opened up the door, kind of shoved them in. They did their thing. I shit you not, 5 minutes later, they come banging at the door. We let them out and, they were done for the night. They heard a little girl giggle in the back stairwell and that was it for them.
Wow. Yeah, see, I've got, like, my team is comprised of 5 members, myself and 4 others. 3 of those 4 are either active or retired. Well, 2 are still active law enforcement. 1's retired. He's been on local departments, and then he was a federal officer for a while. So, and I told them, you know, you need to listen to the program tonight. You know, find out some of the things that Nick has to say about Pinhurst. I said, it sounds like it's going to be a phenomenal show. And we definitely need to see about getting ourselves booked in up there. Yeah, of course, they're all for it. You know, oh, that'd be really cool, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm trying to wonder which one of them would be like the state trooper that okay, well, that's 5 minutes. I'm the hell out of here. So, yeah, I'm trying to, like, the one of them that is a current officer, first investigation he had ever done with us. First investigation he had ever done, period. I'm laying out all the instrumentation and everything on the table and explaining to him what it's for. And we hear this loud knocking on the other side of the room. Well, there's four of us out there. I didn't have everybody that night. And he stops and looks, and I said, somebody hit record right now. Grab a recorder and start recording. So, you know, I hit record, and I said, all right, you know, we hear you knocking. Is there somebody here that wants to say anything to us? You're welcome to step up and say hello or whatever. And I've got a crystal clear hello comes back on the EVP. Well, when I reviewed it right there on the spot, just on the speakers off the recorder, he heard it, and his first thing is, what the hell was that? Well, the rest of us crack up. Play that again. Played it again. It's like, you got to be shitting me, man. Nobody said a damn thing. Yeah, I know. That's what we're here to, you know, get. I'm like, dude, that's freaky as hell. You know, but to watch a cop freak out over just a voice is pretty damn entertaining.
It's funny, and you're, you know, one of the funny things I've grown to notice through the years of, you know, my time being there is, you know, we get a lot of the explorers and a lot of the kids that want to break in on the property and this and that, and the ones I always catch, it's usually a group of girls and, you know, their boyfriends or whatnot, or just usually girls, but it's the girls are the ones that are all about it, and the guys that are shit in their pants. Like, they're almost excited that, you know, that we just caught them. Like, oh, no problem, we'll leave. And the girl's like, oh, can we just stay for a little bit? We're not going to do anything. We promise we won't say anything if we get hurt. And the guys are like, you know, first ones be like, oh, peace, out of here. Fuck this place.
Yeah, it's, man, I'm definitely stoked. I've got to get my team up there. Just to,
You were talking before, you know, about hearing bangs on the walls. But one of my favorite things that I love about there, and again, this is a Mayflower. This is probably my most favorite place to investigate on the whole property. It's the third floor of Mayflower. You know, we get such intelligent responses from the spirits that are up there. And we've come to realize how much they love knocking games, to the point where the third floor is an L shape. You know, so I'll have a couple guys stand at one end of the hallway, and we'll go on the opposite side of the building on the other end. And, you know, I'll sit there and scream, you know, if you can hear me and you can understand me, copy what I do. I'm going to bang on the wall three times. I want you to do exactly how I do it. And I'll bang on the wall three times. Boom, boom, boom. At the opposite end of the hallway, you'll hear boom, boom, boom. And then I'll move up a little closer and, you know, I'll say, all right, you know, now that you did that, I want you to do it twice. Boom, boom. And then, you know, the other end, you'll hear boom, boom. And then I'll get a little bit more fancy. And I'll bang on the wall like, boom, 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 boom. And then they'll go, boom, 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 boom. And I keep getting closer and closer and closer. And then it's funny because we pass each other through the hallway. It keeps going to the opposite end. It gets closer as I get closer to the middle. And then it backs away when I go to the opposite end.
Dude, that's pretty crazy. But, you know, like, honestly, you know what would be awesome is do, like, some sort of drum solo on the wall.
Yeah, right?
And just go through, like, you know, do a little Metallica or
something.
Something challenging.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, something challenging.
I'll do. Yeah, I'll play one for them.
Yeah.
Play this, you sons of bitches.
But
smart ass.
Yeah, if you get that response, holy shit. The only thing you have to make sure of, The only thing you have to make sure of is when you're asking your questions, you have to say bang on the wall twice. Ah! Like, in great Metallica fashion.
Yeah. definitely good times. You know, it was funny, like, when I was telling you about Dan, you know, what happened to him last time he was there. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make it that evening. You know, but I got wind that he was up on the third floor, and he blacked out, you know, for a good 10, 15 minutes. And, you know, they had to bring him outside, and he didn't know what happened. And, you know, the thing that boggles my mind is Dan started to feel kind of ill, and just a couple of days before that, two nights before that, actually, I had a group out there, and there was a guy that I was walking around with pretty much the whole night. Seemed fine. We get up to the third floor, and he got violently sick to the point where he had to leave. And, you know, it's just kind of strange that something like that happened in the same spot, in the same building, you know, to two separate people.
Hmm. Now, what was that, do you know the history of that that area? I mean, was it like,
you know, it's funny, I just recently, I was lucky enough recently to actually get blueprints of the Mayflower building. You know, for a while, you know, you try to find the information online, it was kind of difficult, so we kind of just, you know, went with our instincts and what it looked like and watching the Baldini report and whatever we could, we kind of put together what was what. But after getting the blueprints, you know, we were able to see exactly what the center floor was. And I came across two different blueprints. And at one point it was a nurse's ward. And at another part, it also housed patients at a certain point as well. So we have the best of both worlds up there.
Yeah, definitely. And now the area that Dan got sick in, we don't know which portion that was, nurse's station or patient's area?
That was it was up on the third floor in what would be kind of like a day room area, almost like a living room area.
Okay. And that's the same area that the investigator that you were following around?
Yep, same exact spot.
Huh. That's weird. I wonder why it's affecting that area in the way that it is.
You know, I don't know. You know, I'll tell you an example of repeat symptoms of what happens up there. You know, there's a time I was given a tour, I think it was last year, and as I was walking up to the third floor, I'm giving the tour, and, you know, the team has the recorders going as I'm giving the tour. And there's a voice that they captured saying, "Oh, my stomach hurts." And it's notorious for people's stomachs to be grumbling up there. Like, it's almost clockwork. Anyone that goes up there, their stomach's going to grumble. And I said that when I got up to the top of the stairs. And I said, you know, when you guys are up here, just be careful for, you know, your recorders. You're going to be tagging a lot because your stomachs are going to be making, you know, that grumbling noise like you're hungry or you got gas. But we actually caught the EVP saying, "Oh, my stomach hurts." And every time people go up there, their stomachs start, you know, messing around with them.
Wow, that is definitely wild. Now, I'm sure you've been in every building on that campus. What building is your favorite one to go hang out in?
My favorite one to hang out in, and I'm not saying this because it's the only building open, it is Mayflower. You know, I could spend all night, you know, all week on the third floor of Mayflower. You know, but my second building, I have to say, is Limerick. And I'll tell you why. And I haven't been in Limerick in a long time now. It's probably been close to a year since I've actually been in that building. The first time I ever came to the property, you know, a few years ago, you know, we did the tour, and, you know, the person that gave us the tour, Timmy Smith, who is the, you know, the owner's son, you know, I'll never forget this. He was giving us a tour. He was walking us through the tunnels, but he wouldn't go in any building whatsoever. And he actually said to me, he was like, "I won't be caught dead ever walking into any of these buildings." And now he's the president of the Pennhurst Paranormal Association. He loves this crap. You know, he's like the biggest ghost hunter on the face of the planet. He's always buying the new toys and the new cameras and the new recorders. You know, he has a blast. But now that, sorry that I got off topic, but the first time we went there, he just got done giving us the tour. I went outside in front of the administration building. I was having a cigarette, and if I'm facing the administration building, Limerick's on my right. And, you know, I saw a full-body apparition. I saw a nurse staring at me at the window. And, you know, unfortunately, of course, I was outside by myself, so I had no one to say it to. And as I started walking up the stairs to get somebody, she let go of the curtain that was still dangling in the window and then just disappeared. So I ran and I asked him, I said, you know, is anyone in these buildings right now? And he said, no. You know, the place is locked up. And so that kind of freaked me out. And then later that night, while we're doing the investigation, we went into one of the rooms, which is, again, the first time I've ever been out there. I heard a little girl start laughing, and I was with my buddy CJ and his girlfriend at the time, and they all heard it. And we're kind of sitting there like, who the hell was that? And then we hear her laugh, and she says, hi. And we said, okay, hi, hello, how are you? What's your name? And then she said her name, Emily. And we asked her how old she was, and she said 7. And then she laughed again, and then she said, okay, bye. And that was it.
Have you heard from her since then?
We hear from Emily all the time. She hangs out all over the property, and she does spend time in Mayflower, yes.
Nice. Now, is there electricity, like, through all the buildings, or, I mean, is Mayflower?
No, the only building that has electricity right now is Mayflower, and it's very limited electricity. We only have 2 outlets, and that's to allow groups to plug in their equipment. We have one on the first floor and one on the second floor.
Right. So what is your theory as to, you know, where are the spirits getting so much energy to be able to do so much?
Oh, God. You know, if the amount of energy and the amount of suffering that happened at such a place, you know, that's going to live on forever. You know, the best way I like to describe it, all right, is, you know, Dennis, you have family. I believe you said you were military, and you have other friends, or relatives that are military. You know, and you hear the stories of people that go into combat, and you know, their Humvee gets blown up, and part of their arm gets blown off. You know, and they come back to the States, and you know, it takes a while to heal, but their arm is amputated, and they'll go and they'll try to scratch the part of the arm that's not there. You know, that phantom energy that still exists. You know, that never dies.
True. Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, you hear so many of the shows, and you know, there's so much theory based around, you know, limestone and water and this and that and the other as a conductor and et cetera. So, you know, that's the, you know, I'm just wondering what, you know, what do they feed on? Obviously, they're feeding on, you know, whatever they can. But, yeah, that.
Hey, Dennis, real quick. Canadian Ross, were you going the same direction?
I was headed right to that.
All right, go for it.
All right. Canadian Ross is in chat with us, and he wants to know what the scariest part in Pennhurst is.
The scariest part in Pennhurst. Oh, God, there's so many. Well, the scariest thing that's happened to me was in the basement of Quaker. And Quaker was the building that housed, I guess you would say, the most violent. You know, the rejects, the very low IQs,
yeah.
You know, the bad people. So that is, you know, that's where the most craziest thing that's happened to me was in the basement of that building. That building just has such an eerie feeling, even going to the graffiti that's all over the world, walls. It's all demonic. But one of the other scariest places is down in the hospital, the first floor of the hallway that has, you know, the surgical rooms and the morgue. You know, that building, I mean, that whole building in general, you know, it's probably the one that's in the worst condition, and it's just so oh God, it's just so dark, creepy, damp, and it just, it's not a place that I would like to hang out and party. I don't know why kids try to do that all the time.
Oh,
and when did they go to
more
amusement parks?
Oh, wait, what was that?
I said, do you have more experience with it and the idea of it as opposed to somebody just going in because they heard a story? So they want to speak the truth versus everything. Tim said, and because I asked him in chat what his scariest moment was, he said, I think the basement of the Quaker with a brass fitting was thrown about an hour after the crowbar incident that you brought up. I said,
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I said, also that night got a whisper in my ear soon after that, which was creepy. And then he said, I think some of the scariest stuff is the feeling of the building themselves and the Quaker and Tinicum. Yeah,
Tinicum is creepy. There's a section on the property that we just very rarely go down, and in that property or that part of the campus is Tinicum, Union, and Incentus. And, you know, when you're pulling into the property, you see Union and you see Vincent up on the hill, and you drive past Tinicum, and it's just so overgrown and so creepy looking and dark. I mean, even the catwalk walking to it from the catwalk, I mean, all the overgrown is going over the catwalk like you're almost in a tunnel, you know, and you get to these buildings and, you know, the vines going up the sides of the buildings and into the windows and, you know, you see the roof kind of falling out and you have a tree coming out of the roof. You know, it's just so, it's eerie. You know, one of my favorite recordings I got was the first time I went into Tinicum. You know, we walked in through the front door, you know, we walked into the left, and right before we got into the day room, I stopped, and I said, you know, something's telling me not to go in here, and then I paused for a second, and I go, ah, fuck it, and we walked in, and then we listened to the recorders later that night, right when I said, something's telling me not to go in here, there's a voice, again, clear as day, don't go in there, you know,
nice.
So... It was pretty creepy.
Yeah, I've, you know, the real time, I mean, I love to run, like, my H4. I can monitor it with earbuds while it's recording. So, I can actually get, you know, real time. I'm kind of wondering at this point, you know, if I have something like that, would I actually proceed or would I go, thanks for the heads up and get the hell back out?
Well, I think, you know, when you have other people with you, you don't want to look like the pussy of the group, so you just keep on going.
Yeah, it's all fine and dandy, so you get a brass fitting upside your melon.
Yeah, that was a crazy night. Actually, that was a fun night, and I'll tell you why it was a fun night. That night is when they filmed the movie, or at the time they were filming a movie on the property. And we took part of the crew and some of the staff out on an investigation because they were experiencing things all the time. And, you know, one of the actresses that was in the movie was a porn star, Ryan Keeley. And I remember during the day we were sitting on the catwalk while they were filming and we were waiting. And we see this girl in, you know, white see-through lingerie, bra and thong, just walking on the catwalk, not caring. You know, you have five of us, five dudes just watching this hot porn star chick walking naked on like the catwalk. I mean, it was a good day. And then I had a crowbar thrown at us, you know, a couple hours later. So, you know, at least if I was going out, I at least went out, you know, seeing some hot chicks.
So the question is, was your wife around watching you stare at the little hot porn chick? That might explain
the crowbar. No, but she knew, she knows about it. You know, I went home and I told her the story and she's like, oh, she's such a pig. Ew. I'm like, all right, I guess I won't show you this picture with her wearing a, you know, a white tank top and again that see through. So we're just gonna delete this. I actually didn't delete it. It's on my Facebook if you want to check it out.
I'm headed there now.
Now you distracted everybody, and nobody's even paying attention anymore, and everybody's flocking to your page.
Yeah. Well, this would be an excellent time then to take a couple of minutes. We're going to play a little piece of music for you, to give you a chance to get up, grab another beer, make another drink, whatever you got to do. But we'll be right back. More with Nick Carlson from Pennhurst Paranormal Association out at Pennhurst State School and Asylum. So stand by, folks. Don't go away. We've got more of the show to come.
Yes. And I like to call it the PPB, Paranormal Potty Break. So, but yes, be back. And let's see. I'm going to stick with the electronica for the night. So 4 minutes and 31 seconds. So be back shortly.
Crash, 'cause we both know how it's been.
right, and we're back. And Canadian Ross, yes, I was going to type this in chat, but I'll just tell you flat out, the music on the board that we have sucks. So I really don't have that much of a choice. I'm going to have to upload a lot more stuff to actually make it.
I love is tragedy, then why are you... I don't get the words, fuck it.
It's a little bit of terrible. I mean, most of the stuff that's on here is like 80s, like hair band rock stuff. So,
oh, gosh.
I mean, come on. I have Bret Michaels on here. Fuck Terry, which everybody's sick of. Green Day. AC/DC.
AC/DC's all right.
It's all right, but You Shook Me All Night Long is the only song on here, and if any bar that you go to is that song gets murdered, which honestly it's not bad because girls go nuts over that shit, but
considering that we're talking about Pinhurst and crowbars and shit flying at you, it's not a bad thought for You Shook Me All Night Long.
I do have Black Eyed Peas, Boom Boom Pow, or Beyonce, All the Single Ladies.
That's Dennis's jam right there.
Damn, how did you know, man? It's like you know me. Get out of my head, dude.
Bowling, Bowling for Soup, High School Never Ends. I guess Queen, Another One Bites the Dust should have been a...
Another One Bites the Dust. Another One Bites the Dust. And another one, and another one. Another One Bites the Dust. So you should just play me on the breaks, you know?
Okay. Yeah, exactly. I'd be like, all right, and we're going to take a break, and Nick is going to sing.
And
every rose has its thorn.
Yeah, that one actually isn't on here, which I'm surprised.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That song sucks.
Canadian Ross, that's a good idea. We'll do a paranormal karaoke show.
There you go.
That would actually be really fun.
I do have a couple more questions. The tunnels and everything. How much activity is in the tunnels, and why do you think it's there? I mean, it's not like the patients were supposed to be in the tunnels or anything.
So, well, the tunnels were used for transportation and also to deliver storage, or not storage, but supplies. That was the way to get around. As far as activity in the tunnels, and, you're a paranormal investigator, so, you've heard the expression, when in doubt, throw it out. The tunnels, it echoes. If you talk like we're talking right now, you'll hear it on the other side or the other end of the tunnel. Even from a drip of water carries. So any type of noise or voice we thought we would capture, just because of the echoes that are happening down there, we kind of just throw it out. But as far as personal experiences, we've seen numerous, shadow figures walking up and down the hallways and, what we thought we've heard, people running up and down the hallways, but it definitely has that creepy, eerie feel. But on an investigator standpoint, we have to, have come up with at least a good explanation or reason being why it might not be what we think it is.
Yeah, that's, I think probably as much time investigating on most investigations, I spend trying to figure out a logical explanation for what occurs. A lot of times there just ain't jack shit you can come up with. I mean, we did one in a private residence. How you just kind of get that feeling when you pull up that you're being watched.
Yeah.
We pulled up, and this house has two dormer windows upstairs. And I just had the feeling that you know, the one dormer window up there, I was just being stared at. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We don't even use the upstairs. We've got two bedrooms downstairs, two bedrooms upstairs. They're not even used for anything but storage. So I'm going up to the top of the steps, and I set a little voice recorder down. I went back downstairs around the corner and 15, 20 feet away, two rooms away, and the homeowner is asking about all the equipment that my crew is pulling out, you know, what's it for and what's it doing, blah, blah, blah. And this is about 10 minutes into recording. On that recorder, nobody is closer than probably 40 feet. You can hear us kind of quietly in the background, but I've got a beautiful EVP that says, what are they doing? I don't know them. And, I mean, it's a fantastic EVP. So, you know, even in the least expected, you know, when you, you know, it's not, they had no complaints about upstairs. They've never had any activity up there. They constantly have things downstairs move, noises, feelings, things like that. When I ask them about upstairs, no, you know, once in a while we'll hear something like cracking and popping, you know, like maybe the house is settling, but that's about it. But, okay. I'm going to set a recorder up there anyway. Yeah, so, I mean, you never know where the hell activity is going to occur. Now, are there like, and I just happened to think about this, I don't know why, are there like little, you know, cubby holes and, you know, little storage spaces and crap like that? And, you know, have you paid attention to those to investigate them as well?
Well, one of the places that we've recently have been obtaining a lot of evidence, and, you know, we've been going here for years now, is one of the bathrooms. You know, we would always walk right past it, never paid any attention to it. And then I believe it was, and if Tim's still listening, he can correct me if I'm wrong, but Constantino's did an event out there. And they're the ones that decided to go into the bathroom. And the responses they were getting were pretty insane. So we've been paying attention more to that bathroom. And, you know, we've been getting reactions from women with that they feel like they're getting groped, their hair pulled, touched, to, you know, different laughs and giggles on the recorder. You know, so, and that's just that we started paying attention to recently.
Huh. Yeah, it's, I mean, I love the little, you know, out-of-the-way area where, you know, typically nobody else goes to investigate. So that's the areas that you find are amazing.
Like another example, this actually just, I can't believe I just thought of this. This just happened to me about a month ago. You know, we had, I had a group out there, and I brought a buddy up with me, you know, just take the ride with me that night. And we hung out, we're on the second floor in the day room all the way back by the stairwell that goes up and down the whole building. And we're just hanging out there up against in the doorway area, kind of hanging out. We're just keeping quiet because there's a group going on, and we don't want to disturb their evidence. And I start hearing somebody walking down the stairs really, really slow. You know, I hear the one foot go down and the next foot go down and the next foot go down. And I'm like, okay, someone's coming down, but why are they, you know, taking 10 minutes? And at the bottom of the stairwell, there's this old screen window that, you know, just happened to fall on the ground, and no one's ever had the courtesy to pick it up. Kind of just left it there. Don't ask me why. And as the person gets to the bottom of the stairs, turns the corner, and we hear him walking on the screen, and I turn my flashlight, look, and I look in there, and there's nobody there. And right after that, we heard about 15 bangs come from all around us, and then we hear the footprints again walking on the screen and walk all the way back up the stairs. Again, it's just an area that we never, you know, paid any attention to.
And, Tim just posted into the chat room, the basement of the Devon bathroom sucked out all the light one night, and all the girls freaked out. You familiar with that one?
Yes, that was, again, tell him to correct me if I'm wrong. Oh, he's listening. Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, but that was the same night as the Constantinos, correct?
Now, describe what the hell he means by it sucked out all the light. I mean, were you on flashlights, or was this during daytime?
This was around 5 o'clock in the morning. That night the Constantinos are there. And the way the Constantinos work is they'll go in an area, and they, you know, they let you know that they're going to be spending a long time in that area. And so their event went till about 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. And this is around 5 o'clock in the morning, right when, you know, dawn was happening. So the sunlight was kind of just creeping through the windows a little bit. And then out of nowhere, the whole light source in that bathroom just went completely dark.
Hey, Nick, real quick, I see the same area code. Is 10598 first?
I believe so, yeah, that's him.
Well, man. It's him.
Yeah, I guess you're invited.
Hello?
Hey,
hello?
Tim.
Well, how's it going, guys?
Hi.
Hey, Nick.
How are you?
Oh, God, I miss you so much.
Oh, see, now, Dennis, now we got their romance.
Tim, you weren't supposed to call, man. You're making us look gay.
Well, you know, I was on the chat room telling them about your fear of spiders, so everybody in there knows about, you know. So.
You're such a dick.
I know, thank you. It's okay.
Oh, God.
And Tim, by chance, are you on, like, Bluetooth, or did you Skype in?
I'm not on Bluetooth or Skyping
better.
In. I'm on my phone.
Yeah, much. I don't know what changed, but I could just barely hear you before. So, now, correct me if I'm wrong. Nick's been referencing you all night. You are the owner's son.
I'm connected to the property, yes.
Okay. So, how long have you been affiliated with Fenhurst?
Probably roughly since about 2009. I want to say somewhere around October of 2009 was originally when I started becoming a part of the property for various reasons that had nothing to do with haunted houses or anything. It was more or less, you know, trying to oversee some of it as the purchase was taken over and, you know, just trying to see what we could do with the property to try and make it viable, you know. And things have been kind of fluid and changed as the months and years have gone on.
All right. Now, I'm assuming that between chat and what you have keyed into chat and what Nick's told us, those are pretty much the strangest shit that's happened to you there. What is one of the absolute funniest things that you've had to come away from Fenhurst with?
Funny as well. Originally, when we were getting, Nick kind of referenced it because I kind of texted him about it when you guys were talking about it. It wasn't that we didn't tell all the employees. In fact, the majority of the employees there know about it, and that's why they want to work there, and certainly for the haunted house. But when we were getting the asbestos removed from the various buildings, being at Mayflower, Devin and Quaker, the group came in, and the guy that took over the contract didn't know much about it, but we kind of hinted to him that you might hear some stuff. He goes, listen, I don't like hearing that stuff, and my crew doesn't like that kind of stuff, so you can't tell them, you know, what it goes on here, because they're going to quit on me, and I can't afford to have them quit on me. And you know, they went into the Mayflower building, and I'm like, I'm biting my nails. I'm like, oh, man, please don't hear anything because we really need the other ones. And it's not cheap to get this stuff done. So we're like, oh, man. And then Quaker, I'm like, oh, we're really messed up. We're never going to get through this. These guys are going to quit. And then they got to the Devon building, and I'm like, oh, we're free and clear. No problem. and I went to give these guys, like, it was like 100 degrees out one day, and they're in these hazmat suits, you know. It looks like straight out of E.T. or something, you know, where the guys, you know, in the buildings, and they sat there, and they go, freaking out one day, because I'm like, what's going on? We hear doors slamming everywhere. We can't even explain it. It was just too funny. You know, the one building, I didn't expect them to have any problems, and that, you know, that they're having all these issues. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I did about 6 years doing hazmat, so I've done asbestos. And
yeah.
I worked in a chemical plant in Moundsville, West Virginia.
Okay.
Now, anybody that's familiar with Moundsville thinks of one thing right off the bat. Moundsville State Penitentiary. I mean, the whole area, it's very old. It's very country. It's fairly isolated because, you know, it's mostly just old chemical plants there. We had some definitely unexplainable shit happen while we're in there. You know, you're wearing a respirator, you're wearing a full suit, you're taped into it. You know, in order to come out, you have to go out through the showers. You know, because your likelihood is you're covered in asbestos. Well, we had two guys that were working in a room next to me. They're probably 30 feet away or so. Just all of a sudden, they come hauling ass past me. I'm like, what the? Now, doing hazmat, if I run, try to keep up, because there's a reason I'm hauling ass. We run out, and they run straight through the showers, didn't even touch a valve. Like, hey,
oh,
hey, you got to shower out. What the hell is going on? Fuck you, I'm going home. What? What the hell is wrong with you guys? I mean, they're pulling their suits off. They haven't showered. Nothing. What the hell is going on? He's like, dude, we were in that room. He said, we got a couple of drums over in the corner, and you didn't hear the bang? I went, yeah. Which one of you clowns knocked over the drums? He goes, no, dude. We were on the other side of the room from it, and something knocked the damn thing down, and we heard a groan right after it, and that's when we blew past you. I think it's time to shower out now.
You know, it's amazing, you know, what people pick up there. And there are some funny things like that. You know, in fact, another group that we had out there, just friends of mine had an RTEVP. And this is like, you know, besides Nick, who professes to be one of the, you know, the most masculine men, but we all know better than that. You know, that I know.
Coming from a guy who can't walk right now. I'm going to come see you tomorrow.
But a guy that I know that is like, you know, this muscle guy, you know, bound guy in Mo, he's listening to the RTVP in Mayflower, and two gunshots go off, and nobody else hears them, literally, much like the drums going down. I mean, these are the loudest EVPs I've ever heard. And he sat there, he goes, and the person right next to him doesn't hear it. He goes, did you just hear two loud bangs? And she goes, no. And he goes, oh, my God, what was that? And he goes over and talks to my brother Patrick. He goes, did you hear that? And he heard something else in RTVP, and he just goes, okay, I don't want this anymore. Can you take this away from me, please? Because he was so scared of what he was hearing and freaked out.
And I've never seen that guy scared of anything. It's funny what happens to people when they start believing or when they have that first experience. You know, it's either going to be really comical or really scary. So,
yeah, it's, man, like I said, I've got that police officer on my team that had never heard an EVP, never been on an investigation, and just the look on his face when he heard that response was,
yeah,
it was priceless.
It was, and that brought up the point that Nick brought up. And what was interesting about that thing, I thought, was it was five state troopers, but they were begging me, you know, to get on the property, and I owed a favor to one of my father's friends. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, we're great, you know, we're okay. And since I knew who they were, I was okay not being there, you know, and I let them on there without me. And, you know, they were like, I go, look, all you got to do is promise me, come the day before, I'll show you around, you'll be okay. I'll show you where the hot spots are and where you want to record and to make the best of your time because I need you out by 12 o'clock because I just don't trust you past that. I don't know how to get you off the property past that. That's okay, no problem. They were begging me for months to do it. They had until 12 o'clock, which is not, you know, most people get till 3. They ran out the door, not looking back, no later than 9 o'clock. And she hasn't asked to come on the property since. And they fancied themselves to be, you know, liking ghosts and going ghost hunting. And, you know, they did their normal routines of going to cemeteries and things like that, you know. I didn't have to do that because I just went right for the Holy Grail and I went to Penrose for the first time and there's really no point in me going anywhere else. But, I didn't have to do my time in a cemetery or a local bar, you know, or place that's supposedly haunted in my neighborhood because I have 17 buildings to go play in. But, it's just funny. And, these guys just ran and didn't look back.
Yeah, I'd probably end up being divorced if I were in either one of y'all's shoes where I had, you know, some place like that at my disposal at all times.
Trust me. Tim knows. My wife gets pissed off. She's like, you got to go to Penhurst again? Yep. I'll see you later. Don't wait up.
Yeah. Now, if a team wants to come in, how do they go about contacting you? What are the rates, times, you know, schedule, things like that?
Well, right now they can go to www.penhurstparanormal.com. There they'll find the rates, whether it be private or public, whether it's, Sunday through Thursday or if it's a Friday or Saturday. And whatnot, and the rates are pretty much the same that you see in other places. Where it's like maybe $1,000 a night. It's $1,000 a night from Sunday through Thursday. You get in early at 7 a.m. So you can come there. You know, someone like Nick would meet you at the gate at 6:30, get you to sign your paperwork, take you for a tour. Excuse me, and then you're really investigating as early as 7 a.m. I mean 7 p.m. And then you're going. And then you're going to 3, and we listen to a lot of the people. Although a lot of places will go from like nine to three, or maybe sometimes later, like the Trans-Allegheny, I think goes till 5. But you know, the reality of it is that 3 is really where we got to go to. But so we listened to them and said, you know what? Why don't you set your stuff up as early as 7, and if you can get set up really fast, then you got it. There are public ones that run similarly priced as other places, and it's $125. You're there from 9 to 3, and you don't have to know much because people like Nick take you around, and they really hold you by the hand, and they're as intrusive or non-intrusive as you want. You know, if you want their full authority, expertise on display, then he'll do that, you know. He's like an actor, man. You snap your fingers and the guy's on. And that's why he's so good at what he does. But, you know, if you don't, then Nick also understands that. And he says, okay, well, I'll go hide in the corner for you. I'll just bring you to the right places. And you ask me when you want me to kind of help you out. And so you really can get the best of both worlds. And a lot of those public ones are small. And you almost get the feeling of a private. And if you go there, you know, it's usually May till like mid-September. Then we shut down for a little while during the haunted house time frame. And we don't really have a calendar for November, December, January, and February. But if you call and you wanted to make a date, we probably would do it. So that's pretty much it.
All right. What's the, are you open year-round? Only during the, spring through summer, or?
No, again, spring to fall, almost to mid-September, but we shut down just like the Trans-Alleghenies of the world and the Waverly. I think Waverly does too, but I don't know that for sure. I know East Penitentiary will put them up there.
you know, they shut down because they have the haunted house and they don't want to interfere. So, you know, we shut down pretty much mid-September through mid-November. And in November, if you emailed me and you wanted to book a date, we'd book for November, December, and January. However, there's really no official calendar for those months because it gets a little cold. There's no heat there, and it's, you know, that's not for the, you know, the weak at heart. You know, ghost hunting in the winter is not for the weak at heart.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't
mind
doing
it. Freezing in those months. Freezing.
Exactly.
But to be honest with you, those are my favorite months to actually go out there just because, you know, the overgrowth is away, it's gone down, and you see a lot more of the property, which is what I like. It's great for photographers and whatnot to go around that time of year.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree with what Nick's saying. And if you're lucky enough to have a thermal, you know, a FLIR camera or whatever, you know, whatever level, you know, those things come in really handy in those months because with no heat in the building, if you catch something that's, you know, really off on temperature, it's easier to find, you know, sometimes than it is on other times. You know, somebody put something up that, you know, was weird because it was 35 degrees in the building itself, and all of a sudden they're catching something on the camera that's closer to 55, 58, 60, and it's just, it was just impossible for that temperature to be there. You know, so what is it? You know, it shows the temperature changes a lot easier when you start getting into those cold, the cold weather.
Yeah. Now, I mean, is there anything in particular that you want to bring out as far as the history, information that you've learned about the property? And is there anything in particular that stands out in your mind that you want to make the public aware of?
Well, I think the public is, you know, I don't know that the public is misinformed, but I think sometimes a lot of people paint with a broad brush on it. And, you know, I think it's important for people to understand that some of these employees that work there and some of the ones that we've met really were trying to do a good job, and they weren't all awful. I know court cases have shown and facts have shown that you know, some employees could be abusive to patients, but that doesn't mean all of them were. And not all the time periods were they all the same. I think that this place was designed to try and do some good at the beginning. It got overcrowded, and the state neglected their, you know, their places and failed to do their job. But it doesn't mean that the people there didn't try to make the best of it. It's a shame what happened. And you know, people should be careful about how they paint the employees without knowing exactly what they went through. And that's the only thing I would say. It's obviously, we, as much as we think this place is awful, which it was and is, but it's, the reality of it is we're still far above most of the rest of the world. I mean, Dr. Conroy, who you saw on the Ghost Adventures and stuff like that, he's still going around the world and talking to people that haven't even made the moves and the progress that we have. And they're telling them, and he's out there telling them why they need to make the same changes. So some of these things are still going on around the world, as horrible as that sounds and as impossible as that sounds. So this place, although horrific and sad and just scary, is helping make progress happen. So at the very least, you could sit there and say that it's trying to help progress happen. And I think people, you know, and hopefully we'll have a museum up that will show that progress, and hopefully we'll show why Pennhurst was such an important piece of history for the people that, you know, for people with disabilities. I mean, all the way in schools with mainstreaming special ed kids, those things would not have happened without Pennhurst.
Yeah, there's a saying that we used to talk about in school that one of my professors actually thought of and developed, and he's absolutely right. It's it's a sad victory, but there is triumph in tragedy because it creates education.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't – history, you know, if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. And the good news is that we obviously – it took a while, but we learned. And I don't think we're doomed to repeat this. You know, at least I hope we're not. No.
Well, there's too many damn laws in place to actually have it repeated. I'm sure that it's well, at least not on U.S. soil. I know there's places throughout the world that don't have the regulations that the U.S. does, and as far as human rights laws that are in place that we do, that, yeah, you know what, there are Pennhursts in other countries.
Yeah.
So, and if not worse, and I'm saying that, you know, not modeling Pennhurst as being like, oh, this is the most horrible place in the world, because it wasn't, and then it got bad, and then it got better, and then it shut down.
Let's understand, you know, Pennhurst is easy fall guy, and it seems to be the, you know, the focal point that everybody brings up, because it was the court case that changed the patient's rights across the country, and let's understand that that is actually what it did. But there were 10 to 12 of these hospitals in Pennsylvania alone that were shut down based on this. Byberry being one of them, Eastern State Hospital, and things like that, you know, and let's say if they all had 10, you know, there were 10 hospitals in each state, you know, so
yeah.
This was a necessary, and then that's what, after Bill Baldini's report, you had a Geraldo breaking the news up in New York, you know, so these things were common, it's sad, but it was commonplace. This wasn't just happening at Penner's. This was rampant, and you know, this was happening in California or, you know, Kentucky or, you know, Michigan or, you know, wherever you go across the country. This was happening in all these places because they all have the same state hospitals. They were all built on the same foundation. They were all built with the same premise and educational system behind it. They all started in the early 1900s. And so there's a reason why the buildings all look the same. You know, they all have a TB hospital attached to them somewhere. You know, they nobody reinvented the wheel. It was all the same.
I reinvented the wheel.
What's that?
I reinvented the wheel.
You did. And it is way better than it's ever been. And Nick is a bad man. I mean, he's a bad man. Anyone that's met him, he's no joke.
That's what I've heard.
Well, man. I built the Eiffel Tower out of metal, brawn. That's kind of man I am. We're just a woman with a small brain. It's like a third of ours.
Science. A third the size of ours. It's science. Don't think I don't know pizza maker, man.
Yeah.
I love
lamb.
So hot. Milk was a bad choice.
Hey, Dennis, real quick, we got about just under 6 minutes left. If you guys want to throw out any plugs of anything that you want to do, obviously we can go in the archive and talk for another fucking hour if we want to, because that's the way we roll. But, yeah, any plugs for the on-air listeners, if you want to throw them out now, feel free.
Oh, we have a Don Tobin. What's that?
Oh, go ahead.
We have a John Tobin event in August 17th, and he's coming out with the group. You know, that's really all we got going on right now as far as events go. And, you know, we've still got a couple more weeks left and some dates available. And if you're looking for anything past November, just shoot us an email at info@penhurstparanormal.com, and we'll get back to you. That's really all I got.
And then I would also like to add, in a few weeks, in August, there's an episode airing on History Channel 2 called Haunted History that does a nice piece on Pennhurst, and you will be able to see my beautiful face in it. So I suggest you watch it.
In all its HD glory,
And you should be able to, if they didn't edit it out, you should be able to hear the audio of the night the crowbar was thrown.
I hope that it all goes well. I mean, we don't know which date it's going to be out, but it looks like they just started airing last week. Friday will be the second one for them, the one in Gettysburg episode. But the third one, I forget where they are. So we're into August before they get to us, but they got to be showing us, because if you go on their website, they have a picture of Quaker on that page. So if you go to Haunted History and info about the show, you'll see like a demonic mural, and that's Quaker. So it should be fun. It's a good time to be a Pennerist, you know, and the Haunted House season's coming up. It's going to be a fun little ride, you know, as it always is.
Hey, I do have a real quick yes or no question, since we got about 3 minutes and 40 seconds left. I did want to ask something that I've been wanting to ask all damn night, and actually I'm glad that both of you are on now. All right. Did either of you, and it's you can answer yes or no, we don't have to go in the description, but did either of you, were you into the paranormal before you started working with Pennhurst, or is this something that developed because of the place itself?
I was into the paranormal before Pennhurst.
I was not. And Nick referenced it a little bit. The first time I met Nick and his crew, I took them for a tour, and I actually took another paranormal group through that same day. They're like, are you going to come with us? I said, no. Part of the deal is, if you want to come out here and investigate, you have to take my brother, because he believes in this crap. I don't. I said, I'm not going to stay here. And my brother went and said it was boring. And then Nick and his crew bring it. Listen to all the recordings they got. And my brother's like, oh, I was in the room when that happened, and that did not happen. And I'm like, okay. I said, so the next group came out, which wasn't Nick's, and I said, all right, Pat, here's a recorder for you. If you catch something, I'll believe it. And he caught something on this recorder, and ever since then I started going. And I had my first paranormal experience in the Mayflower building, where I had a whisper in my ear, and I was touched on the third floor, which is still my favorite room to go to this day. So my very first paranormal experience was there, and I did not believe in it until then.
That's definitely pretty cool. So
I told you, man. I don't do things small.
Yeah, no shit, right?
If you're gonna go, if you're gonna do something, go big. You know, go big. I told you, I'm not going to go big. I'm sorry.
So yeah, I just said, you know,
agree.
For actual record time, I just have to say thank you to everybody who listened. Thank you to you guys for joining us and telling your stories. I hope we kept it entertaining enough for you to where you're not like, oh shit, the same questions again, because we don't try and ask the same questions that everybody does. And you're welcome back anytime. Any new shit happens, feel free just to call in and be like, dude, you have no idea. We just got done with this. I mean, we're on from 8 to 10, 9 to 11 your time. So be like, yeah, we were there this afternoon, and, dude, this shit happened. You got to check this out, listen to the story. You're more than welcome anytime. Also,
all right, well, thank you very much. Awesome. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, you're definitely, definitely welcome. Monday nights, Into the Darkness Radio. Dennis and I, we'll be doing it. Brittany will be joining us for a short amount of time. And, yes, Dennis, we're still doing it. And Brittany's going to join us for the time that she can before she goes on tour. So Monday nights, 8 through 10 p.m. Central, 9 through 11 Eastern Standard Time. But thank you, everybody. Have a great, great, blessed rest of the week. And we will talk to you on Monday. So good night, everybody. Thank you so much. Definitely appreciate it. Archive. I always feel like I'm fucking rapping like Twista at the end of every show.
and trying to throw all the shit out there last minute. See, normally, well, until we actually figured out, hey, we're going to watch the clock, we'd be giving our damn, hey, throw your plugs out. Yeah, well, it's 30 minutes after the live, and now we're in archive. Who's stupid enough to still be sitting there listening to us?
Yeah,
I would think 2 hours of our asses would be long enough, but who knows. But, yeah, I mean, I definitely got to see about getting my team booked up there. Now, do you guys do just weekend tours, or, you know, with most of my team
weekdays,
being law enforcement there?
Weekdays, weekends, you know, it all depends on, you know, the only time that it becomes an issue is during Halloween season, you know. But other than that, you know, we're open for business. So
awesome. Yeah, I found, you know, with them being still active in their schedules and the way they work out, Wednesday nights end up being the night that we have best. We can pull some Saturdays here and there, but it makes it difficult to get the whole team together because two of them are, you know, they flip-flop schedule week to week. So it gets to be an absolute cluster. But, yeah, we'll definitely be in touch and see if we can't get up there. Now,
all right. Sounds good.
So,
yeah, every better chance. If it's going to be a night I'm working, we'll be during a weekday as well. I usually go up weekdays.
All right. Now, Parafest coming up in September. Are you guys going to be there repping Pinhurst?
I just talked to Scott about it. We were kind of late to the party on that, and we're working on it, and it looks like there's a very good chance I'm going to be there. I was talking to Scott about it 2 days ago. But,
Scott and I have been talking over the past couple of days, too. We kind of fall into that category of he doesn't know what the hell to do with us. So that's what he's trying to figure out, because we're not doing a booth, but we know, like, personally, we know about 60% of the paranormal staff that's going to have booths and all that kind of stuff, and we were going there. And I also know about 15 to 20% of the horror film and, like, those people, too, where Dennis and I would just be bouncing around to other people's booths and helping them out and promoting their stuff. So we'd be like, we'd be helpers. We wouldn't be there selling anything, but we also wouldn't be there as just walking around trying to get autographs, because we know a lot of the people that are going to be there.
Yeah,
What's up?
I hear what you're saying. I think we're going to go up there. We're going to just get a small booth, potentially. But, you know, the funny thing is I know a lot of the people up there now, too, through a lot of different, you know, avenues. And I met Scott at the Constantino event the last time. They actually brought him out. So, and the Constantino's become, they've had two events at our place. So I've become pretty good friends with them. And they had Katrina and Heather from Paranormal State out there, and I know they're going to be at that event. So a lot of different things, but I hope to be out there and, you know, kind of, you know, represent the Penner's banner, and obviously Nick, we're going to drag Nick out for at least one of the nights, I'm sure. So we should
be fun.
Why
would I miss that? A night to torment you?
And here's the other question. When did he go all, like, 1980s Max Headroom, like, voice on us? Anybody else hear that, or was that just me?
No, it. I don't know why, but his sound just went to really
strange.
I
was waiting for a Pepsi commercial to start coming out. But no, like,
I don't even know if Nick even knows who Max Headroom is. I don't know if he's old enough.
Not a clue. Thank you for making me feel young.
Oh, dude, Google that shit. Wait, but
nope,
I cry
every day waking up knowing that I just turned 30. I'm going to pretend that I'm not and not have a clue.
Well, I'm 32 and Dennis. I'm 32 and Dennis is grandpa. So
not yet, asshole.
Well, listen, guys,
rolled up to be my grandpa.
Know.
See, there's that underside of the bus again, you prick.
Oh, guys, I hate to be the party pooper, but I have to run. Thank you so much for having me. I do appreciate it. I think it was a great show.
Oh, we definitely appreciate it, man. Thanks for taking the time to come on with us and share some of the knowledge and history and everything of Pennhurst.
No problem,
it's,
man. Thank you.
It's always a fascinating damn place.
It is. All right, well, guys, we'll be good, and hopefully I'll see you in September, all right?
Yeah, we're never good. But thank you, Tim. Thank you, Nick. You know, definitely appreciate the time. As fun as always. I mean, this is why we do it. We don't get paid. We do it for fun. So hopefully you guys enjoyed it also.
Definitely did, man.
Good.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, guys.
You guys take care. We'll be in touch.
Perfect. Take care, guys.
All right, and for those that are tuning in late, that was Tim Wilson and Nick Carlson from Pennhurst State School, and more often referred to as Pennhurst Asylum. So if you didn't get a chance to catch their stories about the location, crowbars flying and things like
brass
that. Spinnings. You definitely need to, brass fittings flying at them. Mostly nude porno chick walking on a catwalk. Yeah, you definitely need to tune in, pull up our archive, give a listen. Some pretty fascinating stories, man. I definitely want to see that place. So maybe September, Matt. I'm not sure how far away from Parafest Pennhurst is, but I'm kind of thinking it might be a pretty cool side trip.
Well, you'd have to drive, and that'd be a pain in the ass because you have to drive me back to the airport to fly back to Illinois because I'm not taking my 11-mile-per-gallon fucking Jeep out there and then doing a side trip. I'd have to apply for a few different fuel credit cards. And I actually thought about renting a car and driving out there, but then they kill you on the mileage. There ain't a damn easy way to get around anymore. But, if in fact we can work it out, here's the other thing that I was talking to Ursula about today. I don't think it'd be around the Parafest time. It would probably be either early fall or late spring, and that's what I want to talk to these guys about, too, is getting information about setting up a tour to where Ursula brings her bus out to Pennhurst with not just, whoever pays her normal tour stuff to go on her trips, but we bring all the best that Chi-Town has to offer and then meet up with whoever else. And so a bunch of investigators who we all know and we're all friends with hop on Ursula's bus, we all pitch in for gas and roll out there.
And the nice thing is I don't have to hop on the bus because I'm not far from there as it is. Of course, I'll probably spend more on myself just getting me and my big-ass truck up the road. But, hey, here's a thought. I can always get CPR Graham and his bright green Jeep to roll us up the road.
Yeah, like that gets good gas mileage.
Yeah, but it's not like gas. It's got to be better than, the cost for, fueling my truck. Granted, the truck gets 25 or so on the highway. I can't complain about that, but still, diesel's not cheap.
Yeah, and I own a Jeep, and I can tell you that it does not get 25 miles per gallon on the highway.
Yeah, but you also have it lifted and big tires and all that crap. I don't have that. Mine's just stock.
Oh yeah, your truck is tiny.
Yeah.
You're driving down the road in that van.
It's only 7,800 pounds.
Yeah, only.
Exactly. But
it's 7,805 pounds with you in it.
Yeah, something like that. But no, Graham did actually turn around. He's put the leveling kit on his Jeep, and he put, I want to say he's got 33s on it now. So, I mean, it looks pretty sweet. So, it's coming a long way.
Yeah, and I will be posting photos because I just ordered an extra inch lift kit for mine. So, that will be coming up soon. We'll go from a 2-inch lift to a 3-inch lift.
Yeah, well, he decided that, you know, the way it looks now with the 33s under, he's happy with it. So, he's not going to throw a lift under it. But I will say this, the narrow body on that thing is fantastic for, you know, the abandoned cemetery that I posted pics of, the four cemeteries at Evergreen here in Richmond. His Jeep is wonderful because all they've got are like little service paths through there where they run the tractor with like the bush hog and shit like that. His Jeep can go through those little pathways. My big ass truck. No, I had to knock down trees to go through them. So we ain't taking my truck through there. Now, the main pathway I can drive around, but if I get off the main pathway, my truck's just too big. I'll be knocking the mirrors off of it. So there is that benefit.
Dennis, here's a spoiler alert for you, Jeep. And 2015 is going to be introducing a Wrangler diesel.
Sweet. Well, looks like I know what my next vehicle will be.
That's exactly what the hell I'm thinking, too.
I mean, at this point, man, I am diehard diesel fanatic. I mean, the performance I get out of my truck, the fuel mileage I get out of it, the only thing I've done to it was change out the factory air filter and put in a aftermarket air filter, not the cold air intake or anything. It's all factory air box, just the filter. And I put a Super Chips program to it. You know, I yanked a car on a tow dolly from Virginia to Connecticut at 25.6 miles per gallon. You can't beat that. So, yeah, I'll definitely be looking for the – now, do you know what motor they're putting in it?
They are putting in it the – it's a smaller version of the Dodge Cummins. But it is going to be – well, at least what I found leaked on the internet, it is running an Allison transmission, which is interesting because Allison has never worked with Mopar. And it's supposed to be a 285 horsepower, 330 foot-pounds of torque. Six-cylinder, actually.
Yeah, well, I mean, even my big-ass truck's a little inline six. I mean, I say little inline six, but not really. I mean, the pistons are as big around as my head. But, I mean, it... The fuel economy, the power, the pull-in power, just phenomenal. So, I mean, if they're coming out with a Jeep diesel, especially, you know, and a Cummins batch with a Allison transmission, oh, hell yeah. Yep.
Yep.
We'll be trading Hope. We'll be trading Hope's car in.
And that's, and I believe it's only coming in the Unlimited, which is the four-door. And it, if you Google it and look it up, it's basically a carbon copy of the European one that's coming to the U.S. because in Europe they've had the Jeep Wrangler diesel for almost 5 or 6 years now.
See, I don't understand that. You know, Europe is, I want to say that Europe is probably, God, a huge percentage more diesel use than we are. You know, I don't know if it's that people don't understand the value of a diesel. I mean, God, they're hard to kill. And they, you know, they run so much more fuel efficient than gasoline. But for some reason, the American population just doesn't want to buy a damn diesel.
Well, and I've talked about this too. If the U.S., like Volkswagen, for example, has their TDI, Passat, and the Jetta. Well, the TDI Passat gets almost 800 miles per tank.
Right.
And it actually is a fun car to drive. Well, with all this bullshit hybrid stuff that's coming out, which, you know, we've had these conversations of how bad hybrids are for the environment, actually, because once the batteries go bad at 40,000 miles and you have to replace it for $6,000. So all the government and duping everybody saying that, oh, we'll give you a tax break, but you're not prepared for this $6,000 battery replacement at 40,000 miles, which is ironically just over what your average lease of 3 years, 36,000 miles is. So
right.
Once all the lease vehicles get returned and then they go up for sale and all that stuff, well, you know, the person who's buying it, oh, yeah, well, we also have to charge a $6,000 battery disposal fee because we have to do this within 4,000 miles of when you return your lease car. Yeah, they don't talk about that. And the batteries have to go all the way to Germany to be disposed of. And what do the ships run on? The ships run on coal. And they run on diesel.
Oh, yeah.
So what are you actually helping the environment? The average person doesn't look into it. It's like, no, they're full of shit. And your $1,700 tax savings, you've actually hurt the environment more, which is why I cringe every time I hear that goddamn Toyota song about the Prius when they have the commercials on. A Prius for everyone. Yeah, really? Really?
Yeah, I'd much rather have a planet for my grandchildren.
Yeah, and who the hell wants to drive a Prius? If you drive a Prius, I'm sorry, I don't mean to knock. Well, yes, I do mean to knock them because they're just fucking terrible. You guys don't get the snow that we do. Try to drive a Prius in the snow. Your 800-pound, basically, porta-potty on wheels does not get traction, and it does not move. But anyway, well, enough ranting and raving about that kind of shit. It's disgusting what the government does. But what I've been... My original point of what I was getting at is if they came out with a diesel hybrid, that fucker get like 1,000 miles to the tank.
Well, I've sworn for, you know, since I bought this, and for those that don't know, I've got a Dodge Ram. Since I've bought that, I have sworn the only way I will ever get rid of it is if somebody comes out with a cat-powered, you know, cat diesel power. But at this point, I don't even think I would do it for that, man. I'm just so enamored with that Cummins. It's fantastic. So as far as if they were to make it a hybrid, I think the only other thing I'd want to do to it would be propane injection, which will give me about 30% more fuel economy to its potential, you know, another even if we call it just another 5 miles to the gallon, I can be pushing a nearly 8,000-pound truck down the road at 30 miles per gallon. That's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, well, also look at it this way. Your fueling stations are going to become extremely limited at that point.
Because I can go into, like most U-Hauls have, propane refill centers. And they can refill my tank. I mean, it still runs on diesel, but it has a propane inject, which helps keep the cylinder temperatures down, keeps the intake temperatures down, and just helps it burn cleaner and more efficient. And it will still run just fine, even if I run out of propane. So I'm good with it. But all right, brother, let's draw this show to a close. I've got a little bit of paperwork I need to get taken care of, and I'm going to see what I missed on DVR.
Yeah, well, it was the summer season finale of Ghost Hunters, and I believe also the season finale of Paranormal Witness, if I remember right, but I think that that one might keep rolling. Not sure. I have to check it out myself.
Yeah, well, I'll find out in a little while. So,
yeah.
Once again, everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to us rant and rave about the vehicles, too, even though it doesn't have a damn thing to do with paranormal. But then again, this is full spectrum.
It has to do with everyday life, and that's what we love to talk about.
Yep, it is. It's part of the full spectrum of life. So, thanks again for listening. I am your co-host. I am CPR Dennis. You can find me on Facebook at CPR Dennis, Twitter at CPR Dennis, and you can also find our groups at ChicagolandParanormalResearchers.com. God, it took me a moment. I almost brain farted on that one. It's been
Make sense to you. Like, oh, yeah, I'm from Virginia, Chicagoland. Wait, what?
Yeah, well, it makes perfect sense to me. But
yeah, and I am CPR Matt on Facebook and at CPR Matt on Twitter. ChicagolandParanormalResearchers.com. There is email contact on there for us, anything you need. Otherwise, Monday nights, you can catch Dennis and I on Into the Darkness Radio, which should be changing. And you can catch us on Full Spectrum on Wednesday nights, same time, same place. Have a great night, everybody.
Have a great night. Thanks for tuning in. Bye now.
Bye.